Dit is Hour of Power en van harte een goede morgen op deze wat gure januaridag. Maar hier binnen is het warm en ook in de Crystal Cathedral. Want dat is de bedoeling van ons programma, om hoop en steun en kracht en bemoediging te geven. En dat is vanmorgen in deze uitzending ook weer het geval. Brady Boyd, dominee, vertelt in de Crystal Cathedral over een gek die op zijn kerkterrein kwam en mensen begon neer te schieten. En hoe dat een positieve wending heeft gekregen. Een alleenstaande moeder heeft een boek geschreven en komt daarover vertellen in de Crystal Cathedral. 10 positieve gedachten bij dingen die je somber maken. En dan veel muziek in de Crystal Cathedral. Onder andere van het koor dat zingt Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. Prachtig, majestueus lied. En een solo, Abide with Me, Blijf bij me Heer, zo kennen we dat lied, want de avond is nabij. En soms kun je dat hebben in je leven, dat de avond nabij is, bijvoorbeeld door een ernstige ziekte. En daarover praat ik met Rita Renema. Ze heeft zelf een ziekte gehad die heel veel Nederlanders hebben. De volksziekte nummer 1, kanker. Maar hoe je dat kunt omzetten in blijmoedigheid, troost en anderen helpen. Welkom bij Hour of Power.
Join us today for the best hour on television. The Hour of Power from the Crystal Cathedral. Love one another. Turn to somebody on either side of you. Shake their hand and repeat the line to them. Love one another. So you have come to a place of hope, peace, love, followers of Jesus Christ. You opened the door and invited us in. And we're so honored that we are yours, that we are so close to you, that you care that much about us, and that you're waiting to visit with us here today. And at the end of the hour, we will know we have been in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Amen. be seated. From the scriptures this morning, hear these words. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, and his righteousness to children's children. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is the word of the Lord.
Today we have a living, walking miracle. Jan Coates, and she is a survivor of a very life-threatening cancer and many, many other horrible challenges in her life. I'm not going to tell her story. I'm going to let her do that. Please welcome with me now, Jan Coates. Jan, come on up. God bless you.
Thank you very much.
You know, I just want the people to take a look at you. Look at her. Doesn't she look beautiful and together and successful? Yes.
Thank you.
And that's important because if people saw you and talked to you today, they probably would never have a clue as to what you had to overcome.
Exactly.
So tell us, it began way back in your childhood.
Yes, it did. Each of us has a common thread in God's divine tapestry. And that common thread is that we each have a past.
Yes.
My father was a godly man. He taught me how to pray. He taught me how to read the Bible, and he took me to church regularly.
Wow.
He was also a successful business owner and worked long, hard hours away from home. Unfortunately, my mother suffered from the perils of alcohol and drug addiction and severe mental illness. At the hands of my mother and other dysfunctional relatives, I endured unthinkable childhood abuse. At age 9, I dedicated my life to Jesus Christ, and I was baptized. I can remember distinctly as if it were yesterday. I was in the baptismal waters, and I had on a white cotton gown, and it was floating around, and I felt so clean, so pure, so loved. That very same evening that I was baptized, I was sexually assaulted in my bed.
Oh, my.
And as you know, Satan loves to pounce on the broken and the wounded and the weak. And even though my father continued to take me to church, Satan whispered in my ear, "Don't even bother talking to God. You're not worthy. He doesn't want to hear from someone like you. You're dirty, you're soiled." And as a wounded child, I believed Satan's lies. By age 14, I was still attending church, but I quit talking to God because I didn't feel worthy. At age 17, I got married to get away from my dysfunctional family.
Wow.
At age 19, I was divorced. And the only thing good that came from my marriage was my beautiful son, Chris. He was the wind beneath my wings. He taught me how to live, how to love, and how to laugh. Every Sunday, Dad took Chris to church. And over a period of time, Chris accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior and had his own personal loving relationship with Jesus. After many years of living the life of a divorced mom, I finally met a man that my son approved of.
So you had to get Chris's
approval. Absolutely. And so Bill Coates and I got married the summer of 1982. And for the first time in my entire life, I had a loving, normal family. 3 months after Bill and I were married, our newfound family was destroyed when a drunk driver killed my only son, Chris.
Only three months.
3 months. I felt like I had died too. I felt like my arms were just dangling, my legs were dangling, and my heart had been shattered and crushed into a gazillion pieces. I didn't want to live, and I sunk into a very deep depression.
Of course, it would be normal and natural. So how did you get through that?
Well, God miraculously rescued me. And in looking back in the rearview mirror of my life, I realized that God's rescue began the same night that Chris was killed. A highway patrolman came to our home and told us of the tragic wreck. And he handed me Chris's wallet. After the highway patrolman left our home, I had Chris's wallet embraced against my heart, and I fell to the living room floor and curled up in a fetal position. And I cried out, "My God, help me."
Yeah,
And I could feel God's warm arms wrap around me. And he whispered in my ear, "Be still, my lost and broken child. Chris is with me, and I so love you." I had not prayed for 17 years, but the moment I called on the name of the Lord, rescued me.
That's right. He rescued me. Yeah. Yeah.
And you've heard the saying that sometimes it takes an army. Well, it took an army for me. I was in such a deep, dark depression. The only thing that I could think about was suicide. And God surrounded me with his frontline army. He surrounded me with people that loved Chris, people that Chris went to church with, and of course, Chris's pastor. And they loved on me, and they prayed over me. And every time I had a thought of suicide or something very self-destructive, their prayers stopped those thoughts. So they definitely, God used his frontline army. 6 months after Chris was buried, Easter Sunday, 1983, my husband and I rededicated our lives to Jesus Christ, and we were baptized in the same baptismal waters that Chris was baptized in.
Oh, wow.
And
beautiful.
So about 5 years after this, I continued to share my testimony publicly and how God had rescued me from the thoughts of suicide and depression, how God rescued me from everything. And I got a call from TV 50 in Kansas City, Missouri, and that is owned by Youth for Christ. And they asked me to come on and share my testimony. So I said, okay. And so while I was in the green room preparing for the program, I picked up a brochure and it said, "Pregnant, distressed, there's hope." And I looked up and I said, "God, are you talking to me?" And he said, "Well, duh, Jan." So I put the brochure in my pocket and I went on to the set, and God placed me in the background and him in the foreground. So the program was a huge success. The next day, I phoned the number on the back of the brochure and they said, "Well, come on by for a tour." And I discovered that they were a home for unwed mothers as well as an adoption agency. And with the long story short, within 4 weeks, God gave us a baby boy, Matthew Jacob Coates. And 4 years later, he blessed us with Jordan Nicole Coates, both of whom were saved from abortion.
And
so many years, I prayed for God to give me a new chapter in my life, and he gave me a whole new book.
A whole new book. And two new boys.
And a little boy and a girl.
Jordan is a girl.
But I believe that I'm living proof that God loves each and every one of us just as we are. I mean baggage, sin, a past, our shame, everything about us. But he loves us too much to leave us that way.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
It really truly is. And I want the people to hear that people were praying for you, and that saved you.
It did.
And so if you know people who are going through terrible, terrible times, pray for them. Don't underestimate the power of praying for people that you know who are going through a terrible time. You have written this book called, I love it, Attitudinize 10 Secrets to a Positive You.
Let me be very honest.
Yeah.
The first half of my life, I was the queen of stinking thinking. I was the queen of negativity. And I didn't like myself very much, and I'm sure that other people around me didn't like me. And I was at the point, I was desperate. I was willing to give up and sacrifice who I was for what I could become in the hands of Jesus Christ. And so I asked God for a new life, thinking that he would change things around me.
Exactly.
The other people. But what God did is he transformed me from the inside out. And he showed me that a glass half full type positive thinking is not what he wants. He wants our glasses to overflow with godly positivity from the inside out. Our glasses need to overflow with God's grace, God's love, his joy. And so God has placed me in full-time ministry to share with others his love, his hope, his joy, and his love. And my life message that God has given me, and my speaking and writing ministry is Matthew 5:8 from the Message. And it says, you're blessed when you get your inside world, your heart, and your mind put right. And to Jesus Christ, I say thank you for never giving up on me and for using my righteous anger to help others.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you, Jan. Give her a warm welcome. It's a pleasure to meet you. God bless you.
Thank you very much.
En dat was Haley Westenra, of Westenra, dus naam doet vermoeden dat het van Friese afkomst is, maar ze zong in de Crystal Cathedral het bekende Abide With Me, wat wij kennen als Blijf bij mij hier, want de avond is nabij. En er zit gelijk een geweldige troost in, want als de avond van je leven nabij is, dan is ook God nabij en misschien nabijer dan je ooit hebt kunnen bedenken. Hoop en de kunst om te leven. Rita Renema richtte een stichting op die gaat over mensen die getroffen worden door kanker. En Rita, goedemorgen.
Goedemorgen.
Je hebt zelf ook kanker.
Gehad, 3 keer, helaas. Een agressieve kanker. 3 verschillende soorten. Maar ik leef.
Ja.
En ik mag ook nog leven.
Ja. Oh, je mag ook nog leven? Ja. Hoe bedoel je dat?
Nou, ik zie het leven van God aan mij gegeven. En God zegt tegen mij, mens, leef. Ja. En ja, dat wil ik doen. Ja.
Hoe leef je anders? Leef je bewuster?
Ja, je leeft bewuster. Je geniet misschien ook wel veel meer van het leven dan daarvoor.
Noem eens wat dingen waar je meer van geniet.
Ik hoor de vogels fluiten. Ik zie de verschillende luchten. Ik let meer op de mooie dingen. Ik zit wat minder te zeuren of te mopperen op dingen. Ik dan denk van, het is allemaal niet zo belangrijk. Ja. En ik vind het ook een voorrecht om het leven te genieten. En dat zie ik ook als een opdracht die God aan mij geeft.
Ja.
En ja, daar wil ik voor leven.
Ja, nou, en je hebt een doel ook, want je hebt een stichting opgericht. Als kanker je raakt. Wat gebeurt er met mensen? Want kanker is doodsoorzaak nummer 1 in ons land. Wat gebeurt er met mensen?
Nou, ik denk dat je kunt zeggen, hè, iedereen die getroffen wordt door kanker herkent ook de chaos die kanker veroorzaakt in je leven. Want van het ene op het andere moment wordt je leven op zijn kop gezet. Maar je leven wordt ook ingevuld door medische behandeling, door ziek worden, lang ziek zijn, door wachten. En ja, dat geeft zoveel chaos in je dagelijks bestaan, maar ook chaos in je emotie. Hoop, wanhoop, verdriet, pijn, vragen, twijfel, angst. Het wisselt zich enorm af. En ja, met het oprichten van de stichting, dat doe ik met nog meer anderen hoor. Ja, dat zijn allemaal mensen die zelf ook geraakt zijn door kanker. Ja, daarin hebben we als doel om mensen te ondersteunen, om met hun mee te trekken in die chaos van kanker. Ja. En als christenen hebben we elkaar iets te bieden. He, we kunnen elkaar bemoedigen, we kunnen elkaar aanmoedigen, we kunnen voor elkaar bidden. En een voorbeeld wat ik meegemaakt heb, we kunnen omstandigheden niet veranderen, maar we kunnen de kijkrichting wel veranderen. En er is een periode geweest dat ik zelf heel ziek ben geweest en dat de dokters zich grote zorgen maakten over mij. En de ene na de andere dokter die kwam bij mij om te kijken of ze iets zouden kunnen doen. En op een gegeven ogenblik kwam er een keer een Chinese dokter. En die zei, bent u christen? En mijn man zat naast mij en we keken...
Met een L.
Klisten. Het was een Chinese dokter. Ja. En mijn man en ik keken elkaar aan. Omdat je dan verbaasd bent door zo'n vraag. En wij zeiden ja. En toen zei zij tegen ons, u ziek, u heel ziek, u zo kijken. Nee, niet God. Goed, u zo kijken. God helpt. En mijn omstandigheden veranderen niet, maar mijn kijkrichting wel. En dat is zo helpend. En dat willen we eigenlijk ook doen met de stichting. We kunnen de omstandigheden van mensen niet veranderen, maar de kijkrichting wel.
Doordat je zelf met de ziekte hebt geworsteld, ben je eigenlijk ervaringsdeskundig. Je bent al 13 jaar geestelijk verzorgster in de palliatieve zorg. Dat is een beetje een moeilijke term, want wat is dan anders dan in een ziekenhuis verzorgd worden?
Ja, palliatief is afgeleid van pallium en dat betekent mantel. In de palliatieve zorg gaat het om de totale mens. Om de mens met zijn somatische, sociale, psychische en levensbeschouwelijke aspecten. Maar ook om diens naasten. Nou, in die zorg, ieder mens is anders. Ieder mens is ook gevormd door zijn, haar levensverhaal. Maar in ieder mens schuilt ook de behoefte om gehoord, gezien en geaccepteerd te worden. Nou, in die zorg is het heel belangrijk om als team samen te werken. En we hebben dan een kernteam dat bestaat uit de dokter, de psycholoog, de zuster, de palliatief consulent en de geestelijk verzorger. Ja, wekelijks komen we bij elkaar en kijken we ook hoe het met de patiënten gaat die bij ons zijn opgenomen. Er wordt dan ook gekeken hoe de zorg gegeven moet worden of er iets moet aangevuld worden. Maar je merkt ook doordat je met elkaar samenwerkt dat je heel veel voor de patiënt en diens naaste kunt betekenen. Het gaat niet zozeer om de ziekte, maar het gaat om de zieke.
Wat je wilt bieden is hoop en de kunst om te leven. Prachtig, maar hoe doe je dat?
Ja, nou, dat is niet makkelijk gezegd. Maar zelf als mens geloof ik in God. En ik geloof dat mijn leven geborgen ligt in God. En dat is de zekerheid die ik mag hebben. Maar dat is ook de hoop die in God gelegen ligt.
En dat is ook dan weer de kunst van het leven.
Ja, ik merk zeker ook in de periode dat ik zelf ziek ben geweest. Hè, en je leven weer oppakken naar de ziekte. Dat is natuurlijk ook een hele kunst. Nou, uit mezelf was me dat echt niet gelukt. Ja. Maar met Gods genade, met Gods kracht, lukt het me wel. En merk ik ook dat ik heel veel plezier heb in het leven. Omdat ik weet dat ik geborgen ben in God. En ik ben ook ontzettend blij dat tijdens mijn ziek zijn mijn geloof niet is afgekaveld. Maar dat het mocht groeien. Dat het zich mocht verdiepen. He, God beschermt mij, ons niet voor het lijden, maar wel in het lijden. En dat is iets wat je niet met je verstand kunt bevatten, maar wel wat je in je hart mag ervaren. He, God is erbij. God laat ons niet los.
Je werkt al zo lang met zieke mensen. Ik moet je zeggen, tot ik vorig jaar dat een ongeluk kreeg, waardoor een enorm stuk glas mijn pols doorsneed, was ik eigenlijk nooit in een ziekenhuis geweest. En ja, nu kom ik regelmatig, want het lijkt allemaal wel te werken, maar mijn vingers zijn nog steeds zonder gevoel. En dan heb ik ook wel eens even de tijd om zo langs zalen te lopen. En dan hoor ik heel veel van mensen. We kijken naar Hour of Power, dat is een enorme steun voor ons.
Ja.
Je bent zelf een trouwe Hour of Power. Kijk, maar hoe maak je dat mee in je omgeving, waar mensen ook juist wat wij willen bieden met enthousiasme, hoop en geloof en ook de kunst om te leven?
Ik moet je zeggen dat me dat ook verbaasd heeft. Maar de media heeft zeker bij mensen die zoekende zijn naar antwoorden op zingeving een enorme belangrijke rol. Wanneer mensen zoekend zijn, dan kijken ze naar programma's als Hour of Power, als Nederland Zingt op Zondag. En ik heb ook gemerkt dat mensen zelfs dan een Bijbel kopen, dat ze mee gaan bidden, mee gaan lezen. En wanneer ik dan bij mensen op bezoek kan komen, dan mag ik verder in mijn gesprekken met hun. En dat zijn dan ook vaak hele mooie geloofsgesprekken, waar ik zelf ook door bemoedigd word.
Ja.
Dus Hour of Power en Nederland Zingt op Zondag. Die hebben echt een hele belangrijke rol. En ook in die periode dat ik ziek werd. Dan kijk je daar gewoon naar uit. Ja. En dan word je bemoedigd door liederen of door mensen hun verhaal. Het is mooi. Ja.
Mag ik je iets een beetje ongebruikelijk vragen? Maar ik heb op mijn hart. Zou je willen bidden voor de mensen die kijken en denken van, ik lig hier nu en ik heb gebed nodig. Zou je dat willen? Zomaar voor de camera. Ja.
Heere God, dank u wel dat u de God bent van het leven. De God van het eeuwig leven. Dat u de God bent die naar mensen omziet. Die bewogen is met wat er gebeurt in levens van mensen. Heere God, komt u ons tegemoet. Met uw liefde en uw nabijheid. En houdt u ons zo vast op de weg die we moeten gaan. En geeft u ons troosters om ons heen, zodat we ook bemoedigd verder kunnen gaan. Dat bid ik u in Jezus' naam. Amen.
Mag ik je bedanken voor dit mooie en integere gebed? Ik heb een cadeautje voor je. Hou je van cadeautjes?
Daar ben ik gek op.
Oké, nou, dan geef ik je graag dit boek. Leven met de dood. Het is onder redactie van Leo Feijen van Kruispunt geschreven.
Dat is mooi.
En ik heb er ook een bijdrage aan mogen leveren. Ik heb geschreven over hoe ik het sterven van Henry Nouwen van daarbij heb meegemaakt. Van Maya Boshart, van Nel Benschop, van een nichtje van mij en over mijn eigen dood. Dus het was heel goed om daarover na te denken. En een van die gedichten die ik zo verschrikkelijk mooi vind is, rust nu maar uit, je hebt je strijd gestreden, ken je dat?
Nee.
Of van Nel Benschop, prachtig. Nou, ik hoop dat je er erg van geniet, alsjeblieft.
Dankjewel.
En heel hartelijk bedankt dat je hier wilde zijn. En dat je zoveel mensen tot steun, troost en zegen mag zijn.
Bedankt.
En ga ermee door.
Dankjewel.
Oh, jullie hebben een landelijke dag binnenkort.
Ja, klopt. 24 maart is er een landelijke dag vanuit de stichting georganiseerd als Kanker Je Raakt. En willen mensen er meer over weten, ja, dan zou ik hun willen vragen. Ga naar www.askankerjeraakt.nl en dan kun je alles over ons lezen en zien wat we allemaal doen.
Geweldig. En wij gaan terug naar de Crystal Cathedral.
Wait till you hear this man, the lead pastor at New Life Church in Colorado. This is what happened at their church. Two young church members, they were gunned down in the parking lot after the church service. This is one of the tragedies that Pastor Brady Boyd had to handle. And he's captured this story in his book, Fear No Evil, A Test of Faith, A Courageous Church, and an Unfailing God. Please welcome Pastor Brady Boyd. Brady, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. It's a privilege to be here this morning. I want you to open up the scriptures with me. We're going to look in the 23rd Psalm today, and we'll also be in John chapter 10. So if you have your Bible with you right now, you can open up and read along with me. This morning, I want to talk to you about our fearsome God and his fearless sheep. Our fearsome God and his fearless sheep. Pastor Sheila mentioned that we had a tragedy on our campus, and we did. I was a senior pastor there for 100 days. I had just arrived. And after 100 days of being the pastor, a gunman came on our campus and opened fire, killing two of our precious teenage girls out in our parking lot. He wounded two other people before he took his own life in our church. And this happened at church. This happened in a place where people were coming to worship. It happened to innocent people. And I remember the day that it happened, quite honestly, was the worst day of my life, the darkest day of my life. And I remember sitting there inside that building, looking at the mom of those two girls. She was covered in the blood of her daughters. I remember that day asking God, "Oh God, where are you?" And 3 days later, on the Wednesday night, so the shooting happened on Sunday morning, and on Wednesday night, we gathered as a church family like we are today. We just all came together to mourn together, to worship together, to pray together. And that night, I just got up in front of the church. I didn't plan to say this. It just kind of came out of me with the help of the Holy Spirit. And I said to our church, we will not be governed by fear. We are not a people who are going to be afraid. And I remember the church just erupted in applause. And I saw something on their face. And the way I describe it is, it was holy tenacity. This holy tenacity came upon our church. And I knew that night, looking at their faces, worshiping together with those people, that we were going to make it. That we were not going to be a people who were going to be governed by fear. In fact, that was on the front page of the newspaper the next day. We will not be governed by fear. We are people of Christ. We follow a shepherd who says to us that we will always be in the palm of his hand. We're not a people of fear. And so this morning, what I'm sharing with you is not philosophy. What I'm sharing with you this morning is truth that's been tested. Truth that is proven to be true. It has proven itself over and over again at New Life Church. Now, fast forward to the shooting happened almost 4 years ago. In the last 18 months, we baptized 1,200 new Christ followers. 1,200 people. We have planted 4 churches since the shooting. We have sent missionaries into 35 different countries. Thousands of new lifers are going into the mission field every year at our church. This is a miracle story that I'm telling you about this morning, a miracle that God did in our midst, but it started with us overcoming our fear. And I'll tell you 2 reasons this morning that we're not to be afraid. Number one, we're not afraid because He is near. We're not a people of fear because God is with us. And let me tell you, that sounds very elementary this morning, but when that becomes revelation to you, when you catch that, the truth of that by the power of the Holy Spirit, there's just not a lot of things that will make you afraid. Let's read together the 23rd Psalm. Verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. If you can confess that this morning, if you can start with that idea, with that truth this morning, I can promise you, you'll take the first step this morning out of your fear. And for those of you watching on the broadcast, there are many of you sitting in your living room right now, and you're overcome by fear. Fear of the economy, fear of a bad health report, fear about what's going to happen to your children. Can I tell you the first step this morning is to confess out loud, "The Lord, Yahweh, the Most High God, is my shepherd." And it says, "I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake." And then in verse 4, it takes a very ominous turn. The first 3 verses, everything seems wonderful. "The Lord is my shepherd. I'm walking in green pastures. I'm lying down beside still waters. My soul is being restored." And then suddenly life happens. Verse 4, something very ominous comes into the picture. It says, "And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Will you say that out loud with me this morning as a part of our confession? I will fear no evil. And there's a reason why David could say this. He said, "I will fear no evil, comma, for You are with me." He had this awareness that God was with him, even in the dark days, even when everything around him seemed broken and shaken. He said out loud, "I will fear no evil, for You are with me." And not only is God with us, He comes with an attitude. Look what David says, "You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me." God comes with an attitude to defend you today. God's not the passive God that doesn't care about you. God is among us. God is with us. God is here to protect, to defend. When I was a freshman in high school, I played on the high school baseball team as a freshman. I went to a school in East Texas. It's where every redneck has to go at least once in their life. This is where I grew up, in East Texas. And this school was known for its baseball team, but some of the players, you were messing up, and the coach threw a bunch of them off the team, and because I was on the junior varsity, I got promoted to the varsity team. Well, that didn't make a lot of the seniors, the upperclassmen, very happy to have me there as a young freshman. And I weighed about 125 pounds. I was just a rail thin, skinny little redheaded kid, but I was a pretty good baseball player, and here I was as a freshman playing on the varsity baseball team. And one day after practice, the coach went into the gym and left us out there to get to bring the equipment in, and some of the older boys grabbed me, bound my hands, and put a rope around my neck. And it was really hazing, but it was almost cost me my life. They drugged me across the baseball field, up a hill with a rope around my neck. And I thought I was going to die. I mean, and so when they untied my hands, there was a red mark, big red gash around my neck like I'd been hung. And I remember putting my collar up like this and trying to gather myself. And I went home, and I didn't want my dad to see. Because if you've ever been the target of bullying, it's shameful, it's embarrassing. It's humiliating, especially to my dad. I did not want my dad to know that I had been beaten up and that I'd almost been killed. And so I covered my neck up that night. But coming out, I think I was coming out of the bathroom, and my brother saw it, this red gash around my neck. And he went and told my dad. And my dad came. I'll never forget my dad coming into my bedroom and saying, "Son, what happened?" And I told him the story, and I got tears in my eyes. I'm embarrassed to tell my dad. I remember my dad looking at me, and he said, "Son, you're not going to go to school tomorrow. I'm going to go for you."
And my dad was a man's man. I'm so proud of the dad that I had. He's gone to heaven now. He died about 5 years ago. But I had a good dad. And that next morning, I stayed home and my dad went to the school. And I don't know what he said to the principal and to the coach. I don't know. He never would tell me what all happened. I just know that from that point on, I was not bothered again. The coaches were super nice to me. Those older boys stayed about 100 yards from me. They did not come near me. They didn't want, never bothered me again for the rest of that school year. And something happened. Something got deposited into my heart that we don't have to be bullied by our enemy or bullied by anybody. God, through the act of my dad, deposited in me this courage to stand up, that we have a father who defends us. And I think David had something in his childhood deposited in him so that when everything around him seemed evil and dark, David said, I will fear no evil. My dad is with me. I just remember every time I was with my dad from that point on, I just felt stronger because he was next to me. My dad defended me. My dad protected me. We don't have to fear evil. He's near us. He's with us. The Lord is our shepherd. I'm in the palm of his hand. There's a second reason why I believe that as Christ followers, we don't have to be a people of fear. And it's this. We are not afraid because we can hear. I want you to imagine what it would be like to walk through life not being able to hear God, the voice of God. And one of the last things that Jesus said to his disciples before he went to the cross is found in John chapter 10, verse 27. He's looking at his disciples and he's preparing them for his absence. He's preparing them for his departure, his physical departure, because he's about to go to the cross. He's about to go to the grave, but he's resurrected. But then he leaves them and he descends into heaven. He's preparing them for that moment. He says to all of us, he says in verse 27, John 10, my sheep listen to my voice. My sheep, those who follow me. So he's echoing the words of King David. He's echoing the words out of the 23rd Psalm. And he says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them. I am with them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. And then listen to this language. No one can snatch them from my hand. Now, the word snatch is an interesting Greek word. It's a violent word. It's a word of violence, of conflict. He says, when you find yourself in the place of violence, when you find yourself in the middle of a conflict, when the enemy's trying to snatch you out of my hand, know this, that no one, no power of hell, no scheme of man can snatch you from my hand. And then he says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And then he repeats himself. And notice that anytime Jesus says something one time, we should pay attention. But anytime Jesus says it twice, we should lean in and really pay attention to what Jesus is trying to say. So he repeats himself again. He says, my Father is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. When I was 7 years old, my dad and my mom took, I have a brother and a sister. There's five of us in our family at the time. And my mom and dad took us to the Louisiana State Fair in Shreveport, Louisiana. Now, to a country boy that lived out on the farm, going into town on a Saturday night to this big state fair was kind of a big deal. I mean, lights and there's rides and everybody's bringing their animals in to be judged. And it's just a huge deal. There are 30 or 40 acres of carnivals and everything going on. And I'm in the first grade. I'm like 6 years old. And my mom and dad, I remember before we got out of the car, my mom and dad said, now listen, there's a lot of people here. Stay close. Lean in. Stay close to us. Don't wander off. And they were probably talking to me, Brady, don't wander off. Well, that night, we were walking down the main midway of the fair. And I remember that everything around me seemed bigger, larger than life. And I got distracted and I wandered off. And I remember suddenly realizing that I'm by myself. Have you ever... You remember the first time as a kid that you realized that your parents weren't there with you? And I'm terrified. I stopped, and I can't see mom and dad anywhere. Now, my dad, we grew up around bird dogs, training hunting dogs. And my dad, when he was a little boy, had a chip knocked off the front of his tooth, but it allowed him to whistle. So he had this real distinct whistle, and he trained bird dogs, and he trained me with that whistle. And I remember when I heard the whistle, I was standing there frozen in fear. And I heard that whistle, and I turned, and my dad was right there the whole time. He knew, he could see the look on my face. He knew I was terrified, but he was teaching me a lesson. Brady, listen for me. I'm near you. Lean in and listen. God was, I think my dad was teaching me to listen for the voice of God. Listen to the continuously articulate scriptures. Lean in and listen. And when you hear the voice of dad, this fear that wants to cripple us, wants to grip us, wants to literally bring us to our knees, this fear leaves us when we hear his voice. I've got good news for all of you this morning. God is near. God is with us. We are the sheep of his pasture. He is the shepherd of our souls. Could we, if you believe that, could you confess that out loud with me this morning? We are his sheep. He is the shepherd of our soul. We are the sheep of his pasture. God is with us. God is near us. We can hear his voice. Can I pray with you this morning? Would you close your eyes for a moment and let me pray for you? I believe this morning that this word is a very simple word. It's a very simple message. But for those of you that are gripped by fear right now, this message can set you free. This message can liberate you. Father in heaven, we are so thankful this morning that you are near us. Father, we are so thankful this morning that we're the sheep of your pasture, that you're the shepherd of our souls, that you're with us, that nothing can take us out of your hand. No power of hell, no scheme of man can take us from your hand. And Father, I thank you today that we have listening ears. I pray today that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see, that you would give us a heart to understand, a mind to comprehend that you're with us. The Lord is our shepherd, and for that we are very grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Gentle Savior, lead me on. Let your Spirit light my way. Gentle Savior, safe, lead me on, gentle Savior. And when I reach the valley every soul must journey through, I'll remember then how well you know. I'll put my hand in your hand like a trusting child would do, and say, gentle Savior, lead me on, let your Spirit
Thank you.
So now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may God give you his peace in your going out and in your coming in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there will be for you no sunrise, no sunset, only eternal life with him in heaven. Amen.
Een uitzending vol met bemoedigingen, zoals net van dominee Boyd. Wees niet bang, want de goede herde is er om je heen. En weet je, als een schaap een pootje breekt, en soms kan dat in je leven gebeuren, dat er iets gebeurt waardoor je denkt, nou kan ik niet verder. Dan komt de goede herde, die pakt je op als zijn schaap en draagt je op zijn rug verder. Dat is mijn wens voor iedereen die het moeilijk heeft. Hartelijk bedankt voor het kijken naar Hour of Power. En blijf in contact met ons via www.hourofpower.nl. Weet je, we hebben heel veel boeken en cd's die kunnen bemoedigen en verder helpen. Een hele brochure vol staat in wie we zijn, wat we doen, wat onze uitgangspunten zijn en ook al onze uitgaven, de cd's en de boeken en de dvd's. We staan er werkelijk van te kijken hoeveel er is om mensen te helpen in te groeien in het geloof. www.hourofpower.nl is onze website. Volgende week hoop ik als gast te hebben Jan Hol. En hij geeft cursussen aan echtparen die het in hun relatie wat moeilijk hebben. En die dat graag willen verbeteren. En dat is mogelijk. Ik ben benieuwd naar volgende week. Iedereen een hele fijne zondag toegewenst. En ik hoop tot volgende week.